Parbeis and a little of Paragimel. And I just wanted to point out the second parak begins with Rabbi Omer. Rabbi, is, of course, as we know, is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And he was called Rabbi because he was renowned as the teacher of all of Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi played a very, very unique role. That's what I want to focus upon. He lived in the 3rd century, close to 200 years, a little less than 200 years after the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash. And this was a very dismal time for Klal Yisrael until this time. Rabbi Chiya, the foremost disciple of Rebbe, is the one that the Gemara of Matzia tells us went around all of Eretz Yisrael, started Chador, elementary yeshivas, so that the children should learn Chumash and Mishnayos. They didn't exist in his time. That's how dismal the circumstances were in Eretz Yisrael after the suppression of the Bar Kokhba revolution in the 140s of the Common Era. Rabbi HaKadosh lived almost about 100 years later, and he combined a number of very, very important things. He was, of course, a Tana, so extremely accomplished in Talmud Torah. He also was extremely wealthy, which we'll see helped him in a number of different ways. And the Gemara tells us he was even wealthier than the king of Persia. And he had an unusually close relationship and good political ties with Antoninus. Antoninus in the Gemara, as we know historically, that's Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius had a third name, Marcus Aurelius Antoninus. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh had a very, very, very good friendship with him, and very good, strong political ties. But Rabbeinu HaKadosh used all of these three factors to be able to write the Mishnah. What he had to do to write the Mishnah was to gather all the Tanaim together and to hear from each of them the Mesiris that they had. Each one had his Mesiris from his Rebbeim. And to gather them together and to be able to put the Mishnah together. There were Mishnayos that were formulated before Amen HaKadosh. There were Mishnayos that Amen HaKadosh formulated himself, and he edited all of them. And as I said, there's some Shailim and Mishnayim exactly when it was written. He put them down in writing, or someone subsequent to him wrote what Rabbeinu HaKadosh edited. But this was the first time since the Korban of the Beis HaMikdash that there was such political tranquility that the Roman government was favorable towards the Jews. Rabbeinu HaKadosh could operate openly and tranquilly without being distracted with all the political problems that had gone on for the past 2 centuries. And focus on Talmud Torah. Gather Chachma Yisroel, which could have the clarity to focus on Talmud Torah. And because he was extremely wealthy, he supported all the Talmud Chachamim that he gathered. He did the Tanoim together to gather all of their Masiris, all the streams of learning that they had received from earlier Tanoim. And Rabbeinu HaKadosh could afford to support all of them as he undertook this massive undertaking of writing the Mishnah. So all the Chachmei Yisrael were not distracted. They were able to focus on what Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted, on getting the Mishnah down and putting down the Mesiris. And so Rabbeinu HaKadosh, in fact, he had a kollel of Tanoim. That's what he established, which is what allowed him to write the Mishnayos. And he was able to pay for it from his own pocket, because he was extremely wealthy. And he used the opportunity. And the Rambam writes in the Hakdama, the preface of the Perush of Mishnayos, if not for Rabbeinu HaKadosh's undertaking of writing the Mishnah, the Torah would have been forgotten for Klal Yisrael, the God of the Lord. So he used all the gifts that the Rabbeinu Shlomo gave him, his godness, his greatness, the Torah, his political connections with the Roman Empire, with the Roman Emperor, and the massive wealth that the Rebbeinu Shlomo had given him, all of these combined to give him the unique opportunity to record the Mishnah, to formulate the Mishnah as we have it. So this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh of Yehuda Hanasi. It's the very great role that he played in history. And I wanted to focus on that as we begin Parak Beis begins Rabbi Omer. I wanted to turn to Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Beis deals with Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, And he has Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Gimel, and Mishnah Daled. I wish to focus on Mishnah Daled, the third of the Mishnayos of Rabbi Gamliel. Who are you, Omer? Who are you, Omer, means this was something that he talked about constantly. I say, Ritzayin Iker, Ritzayin Ha, that we should make the Rabbeinu Shalom's will our will, as if it's our will. Today, Shiyasa, so that we can rely upon the fact that the Rabbeinu Shalom will make Ritzayin Ha, that he will take our will and make it his will. And the Bartanura explains that Hazer Mamoncha Bechetze Shemayim, when it comes to spend money for a mitzvah, be open-handed to spend for a mitzvah. As if we're spending money on what's most significant to us. Some people, it's a beautiful house that's most important to them. Some people need a beautiful car. Some people need great food. Some people need great clothes. Whatever people, each person, likes to spend money on, he should spend money on the Rabbeinu Shalom's mitzvahs as he does in the things that he most likes to spend money for in this world. And therefore, he's saying, I don't take the Rabbeinu Shalom's service and the mitzvahs and the difficulties and the expense to come with the mitzvahs as an imposition. Oh, yeah, I wish I didn't have to do it. But to the contrary, this is something which is at the top of my list. And as I spend for my personal needs, I'll spend in the very same fashion for that which the Rabbeinu Shalom asks of me, no less so. We learn in history that the Arizal, as if a tzaddik l'vrocho, when he had to buy a chevet shal mitzvah, he had to buy an esrei, buy tzitzis, whatever he had to buy, he never bargained with the dealer over the price. Whatever price the dealer told him, he took out the money and he paid. Why? Because in the Arizal's estimation, his correct estimation, a mitzvah is inestimable value. Is how can you put a price tag on a mitzvah or a mitzvah which is Olam Haba? So if I come and I say, no, I don't want to give $100 for it, I want to give $75 for it. I'm saying a mitzvah is only worth $75. How can I say that a mitzvah is not worth anything in the world? And therefore the Arizal, so that he should reflect this attitude, that I say Ritzoncha, Ritzonoka, Ritzoncha, that I embrace the Rabbeinu Shalom's mitzvahs as if I'm spending money on what's most important to me. They never bargained on a mitzvah. Whatever it was, they asked him, he looked at the money and he paid. And the bracha that comes with that is going to be Shiyasa Ritzayin Lecha Ritzayin. So the Rav explains, Yitin Lecha Toiva Ba'ayin Yofa. We ask of the Rabbeinu Shalom many times, many chasodim. So just as we are a sport and spend with a free hand for the Rabbeinu Shalom, so to speak, the Rabbeinu Shalom spends with a free hand for us. He gives us the thing that we need, and not in a stingy fashion, but in a broad fashion, in a fashion that makes us very comfortable and pleased. So this is the attitude that Rabbi Gamliel taught when it comes to doing mitzvahs. And similarly, Batel Ritzoncha L'Bnei Ritzono. If I have a desire, I might want to do something. That because we are earthly material beings and it conflicts with what the Rabbeinu Shalom asks of us, so then I should batel ritzon for the ritzon. I should say the will of the Rabbeinu Shalom is more important than my own will. Whatever I want in this world, I'm willing to push aside in light of the Rabbeinu Shalom's will. And the Mishnah continues, what would the schar of that be? And it said, the reading of the Mishnah is, that first pshat, which is the simplest in the words, means he'll nullify the will of others in the face of your will. So the Rav explains, anyone that might intend to bring harm to me, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu will nullify his plans because I nullify myself, I humble myself before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the Rav says it's a second possibility. Really, it means Yivato Ritzono. The Rabbeinu Shalom will nullify his will because of my will. And he quotes a Gemara that a person that's oisa mitzvah ketikuna, a person that does a mitzvah in the way that he's supposed to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him all types of wonderful brachos because of that. So therefore, as I say, batel ritzoncho v'nei ritzono, if I push the things that I would desire away in face of that which the Rabbeinu Shalom asks of me, so the Rabbeinu Shalom, even if he had reason, Tevata Ratzayla means there's a reason that the Rabbeinu Shalom might want to be upset at me, but I'll push that aside and follow back the things that I want with their own. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, who talked in the first, in the, his first Mishnah, he talks about a person that serves the Chol HaMelim and Matzibur. It's a person that serves the Tzibur in Mishnah Benz. So since he talks about it, he harks back to the word of Hillel. Hillel was an ancestor of his. Right? And therefore, he goes back to the word of the great Hillel. Hillel Omer, Al-Tifroish Menatzivah. The person should never separate himself from the Tzivah. And there are just many different levels. One, which is certainly relevant now, as the Rav says, Hishtateit B'tzaroso. Feel the anguish of the tzibur. Shekola perish when a tzibur, a person that does not identify with the suffering of Klal Yisrael in a role of a chomas tzibur, is unworthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow him the pleasure of participating in the moment of solace for Klal Yisrael. So, in one sense, Al-Tifrosh min HaTzibur means if I see the tzibur in a time of anguish, if you see our community now in a time of anguish, it's to feel the pain, to be mispalo for them, to say tilo for them, to feel, to empathize with what Klal Yisrael is going through at the present time. But there's a broader meaning. Al-Tifrosh min HaTzibur means that a person should always seek to be part of the tzibur. And it's something that we long for so presently. And how significant it is, we can learn from a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that Yehoshua accompanied Moshe to Har Sinai. And he stood at the foot of Har Sinai awaiting the return of Moshe. He stayed there for all the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was at Har Sinai. And the Gemara tells us that how was he sustained? Moshe Rabbeinu was mind lo achalma. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have any physical needs when he was in Shemayim. He didn't need to eat, he didn't need to drink. But Yeshua was part of this world, he needed to eat and drink. So the Gemara in Yuma tells us he had a special schus that he got mon at the foot of Har Sinai. And the Chaim Shmuel Evitz Hatzal asks, why did he need a special schus? Why was he different than all the other 600,000 Jews that got mon? He was another Jew, so why did he need his own schus to get mon? He says, the reason is because he was Perish Menatzi. He was separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael was in the Machana, and he was standing at the foot of Har Sinai waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, he had the most noble of reasons to be in Har Sinai, to wait for Moshe Rabbeinu. As the Torah will tell us of Moshe, when Yeshua assumes the reins is appointed the successor to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua ben Nun Na'alo Yomush B'Toychal never separated himself from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was constantly together with Moshe Rabbeinu to learn everything, all the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu could teach. And yet, he was Perish Min HaTzibur. He was separated from the Tzibur for the best of reasons. And therefore, Chaim Shmuel Evitz Hatzal says he needed his own schus to get the money. The schus of Klal Yisrael could not help him because he was a Perish Min HaTzibur, albeit the noble and proper reasons, but he was still separated from the Tzibur. And he writes of his experiences surviving the Holocaust with Chaim Shmuel Evitz Hatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, who escaped with the Mir from Lithuania through Russia to Japan to Shanghai and finally made it to the New World, to America, and then on there to Israel. He said in the experience of the escape of Mir from Europe, the Talmidim that wanted to leave the Mir for a day or two to go say goodbye to their families. They didn't know when they would see their families again. It was wartime. And they left the yeshiva to travel off to a shtetl, a village that was not far off the path where the yeshiva was. He says, and many of them were not zeicher to return. Because those that stuck with the yeshiva throughout, that never left, they were zoicha, but they completed the journey. They came to Barabasta, they came to Kobe, to Shanghai, and on to America, and they survived the war. So tifroish min hatzibur, that's something that is so important for us present. We long to have the ability to come together in the Beis HaKnesses, to be mispalo together, to learn Torah together, because the power of the tzibur is so great. The power of the tzibur is phenomenal schus and davening. It's many, many times the power of the yochid. So the Rebbeinu Shalom grant that soon we have the ability, in fact, to come together again as a tzibur. I wanted to look at a Mishnah on Perek Gimel. Mishneh Vov, Perek Gimel Mishneh Vov, Rabbi Chalafta Ishkvar Chananya, Rabbi Chalafta, who came from the village of Chananya, Omer, taught us the following. Asura Sheyeshvin Ve'oiskin B'Torah, 10 people that come together to learn Torah, Shchina Shruya B'Neim, the Shchina is in their midst. Shenemar Elokim Mitzvah Ba'adas Keir. When 10 Jews come together for a mitzvah, the Shchina joins them. And Eidah, as we know, how do we know that Eidah is 10? Because it says, Chumash Bamidbar, when the Rabbeinu Shalom came to punish the Meraglim, he said, how long will this improper gathering of people, congregation list, and Yosef Yeshua B'Kolev, and Yeshua B'Kolev were righteous and they survived. They did not join with the other Meraglim. So there were 10 Meraglim, Arei Asara, and that's what's called Eidah. So Elokim Nitzav Adas Keir. But don't think that it is only in a situation when there are 10, or Menayim Afilu Chamisha, that even if there are Chamisha, that the Rebbeinu Shalom comes, Shenemar, Bogudoso, Al Eretz Yoshua, and he's together with us, and the text, the Rav has the text, this also comes from the Pasuk, the Keravel of King Yishpot, that the Rebbeinu Shalom was with us, Keravel of King. And the Rav, he says, what does Keravel of King mean? It means how many people do you have to have, what's the minimum that takes place in a Bezdin? There are 3 Dayanim, the 2 Balaidinim, 2 litigants. So anytime that you have a Bezdin, has 5 people. So here we have 5 people coming together to do a mitzvah. And the Shekhinah is found with them. And then the Mishnah continues. And I, that if there are 3 people that come to the Mishnah, I'm going to prepare for the Yishpot, that this has to do with, you could say, just with the Dayanim itself. The Dayanim, Elohim is the Dayanim. And the Dayanim encompass 3. Umenayin afilu shnayim. If we're not zoicha to have even 3, but so long we have 2. That the Shekhinah comes, Shenamar, Oz Nidmaru Yirei Hashem Isha Royayu, that 2 people that stand in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to each other, one to the Shavu. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma, the Shekhinah is there, and the Shekhinah takes heed of what they're saying. So we see that's even with 2. The Minayin Afilu Echa, and even if one person, he's not Zoycha to even have his Chavus of it, but he's zoicha to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom on his own. Shneimar b'chol mokom asher azkir hashmi. Whoever the name of Hashem is mentioned, Abba Adechu Berachtiv, I will come and give you bracha. So we see even that these measures of Shekhinah at all different levels. Now it would seem apparent that the measure of Shekhinah with the minyan and the measure of Shekhinah with Echad is different. It's a different level of Shekhinah. As we know, when we have 10, we can recite the Asara Shadidvorm Shadidvush and Shekhinah's presence. So it would seem to be that the Shekhinah is present in a stronger fashion. But what this Mishnah is teaching us is in every circumstance how much the Rebbeinu Shalom gives credence and respects the mitzvahs that we do. If we're zoicha to have a minyan, it has a level of Shekhinah, Shekhinah B'Neiah. There's also to have 5, there's also Shekhinah B'nai, 3, 2, and 1. At every level, the Shekhinah is present. And the Shekhinah gives us a special siyata d'shmaya, a special ability to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam at a high level. So this comes, in fact, from the involvement of the Shekhinah. This comes from the involvement of the Shekhinah together with us. So even now, of course, we would be happiest if we have the opportunity to come together and serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with ten, with a tzibur. And that would be the highest tier that we could ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even now that we're isolated, and each one of us has to sit in our own place, wherever Hashem's name is mentioned, it means wherever we're endeavor to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Shekhinah comes to that place. So we merit it, especially under these circumstances. You know, there could be a critique of us if we had the opportunity to go to a minyan, and we don't go to a minyan, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam may not be so pleased that he didn't want to come in the fullest sense, and Abba Olecho Verachticha. But in a situation when a person doesn't have the opportunity to attend the minyan, circumstances that then allow it. So then the Mishnah certainly applies in that case, that whatever number we're able to get together, even if it's down to the point, even if it's down to the point that I'm serving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam on my own, there's no one else around, that even the other Rebbeinu Shel Olam comes and can merit the Shekhinah's presence. So Rabbi Gamliel has given us, I'm sorry, Rabbi Hanina, Rabbi Chalaf, the Ishkar Hananya, has given us great solace in our particular circumstance. That even though we don't have the schus to be in a minyan, but nevertheless, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam stands with us. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is with us. So that should give us great solace that even now, where we are, under the circumstances in which we find ourselves, we still can connect fully with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I wanted to go back to one more Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Beis now, and the statement of what Rabbeinu HaKadosh taught us. In a few minutes, I would like to go back to the very beginning of Perek Beis. Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, how does a person decide in what fashion to bring his life in balance? And he says the balance that we have to seek is Ezu Derech Yishara Shiva Lawadam. What is a path which is Yosha, a path of integrity, Shiva Lawadam, that a man should choose? So he says the following: Koshi Toferes Loi Tiferes Loi Seho, Tiferes Loi Menaom. That it serves well the person that does it. And it also is the first law in Adam that people respect the path that he takes. And the Rav explains, it's in life, it's easy to be extreme. One could do things in extreme fashion, but that would not fulfill either of these dictates. As we know, the Rambam and the Yad HaChazok and Hufus Dei has taught us that the derech that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants is the derech Mamutza. A path that's not extreme. A path that properly balances all the factors, not extreme. So a person could, on one hand, be a big taifa. He doesn't want to give out to give away his money. So it's the Ferris Loisel. It serves him well in the short run, but he has his packets of stuff. But it's not the Ferris Loisel of others. It's not respected by others. Here is a person that has means, and he doesn't involve himself and helping anyone else. You know, it reminds me, there was a story, it was, of the great Gdolim of Yerushalayim. I believe he was the Abbezdin of the Eid HaRedis, or Reuben Zelig Bengis. He was a mitzvah, he learned in Volozhin Yeshiva. And one day he had to raise money for a certain stock of course. So he went, Reuben Yerushalayim gets a gabbai. So he went with his gabbai, and they were going house to house to raise funds. And they came to a certain house, and the guy told them, listen, don't bother to go into this place. This guy is a tightwad. He never gives to any cause. So Rabbi Benga said, I want to go in. I'm not disturbed by this fact. I want to go. So he goes in to see this gentleman. And this gentleman, not only was he a tightwad, but he was a mechutzav too. So he says to Rav Bengis, he says, he came with a gava. So I'm sure that the gava told you that I don't generally give to these types of campaigns. Why did you bother to come in? So Rav Bengis was a very two-fisted person. So Rav Bengis said, I'll tell you why I came in. They're going to ask you why there was this gossip in Yerushalayim and they collected money. You didn't give anything to him. So you're not going to have an answer. So the Rebbe Shalom is going to say, they were going to smack you for that one. Then they're going to ask you, was this Amon in Yerushalayim? You didn't give her anything. And you won't have any excuse. So they're going to, the Rebbe Shalom says, we're going to smack you for that one too. So then I was thinking that today, Stoker, that maybe you'll tell the Rebbe Shalom, you know why I didn't give? Because Rebbe Bengis didn't come into my house. That's why I didn't give. So I decided to come into your house to ask you to stop it, to make sure that the Rebbe Shalom is going to smack you for this one too. You know, here he was. He was a tight one. And it wasn't the first limit of them. He had no concern for any of you, even the people in Yerushalayim that were suffering. But a person could go overboard and give away all his money. So then he'll be well liked. You know, he's an easy touch. Just come and he gives you, you know, he pours the money off. So be Tiferes Loim and all the people will respect him. But on the other hand, it will not be Tiferes Loim. His life is going to be a mess because he won't be able to take care of himself. So he has to take the middle path, and that is to look out for himself, but at the same time, not be so focused upon himself. We talked the other day about the Mishnah, Ein Ani Li Mina, but the Mishnah continues, Ani La Atzmi Mani, if my sole focus is upon myself, Ani La Atzmi Mani, then what type of man am I? What type of person am I? So the Rabbi HaKadosh says, in life you have to find the balance. You have to take care of yourself, and by the same token, you have to take care of others. And I think Rabbi HaKadosh was a very good example of that himself. He was a very wealthy man, and the truth is, he was a parish. He did not himself indulge in the pleasures of this world, but he had the means of taking care of himself. But on the other hand, he supported all the Talmidei Chachamim of his day. All the Tanoim that came to help him write the Mishnah, give their input, was supported by Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So on one hand, he was fabulously wealthy. And he had no means difficulty taking care of his family's needs. But on the other hand, he was willing to spend freely for the sake of Klal Yisrael, to gather all the Tanoim together, to be able to write the Mishnah, which was done at his expense. So he, in fact, was a wonderful example of Tiferes Loim, that he took care of himself and his family, and Tiferes Loim and others. And his actions were praiseworthy by others. So this is something that we need to learn from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to maximize chesed as much as we can within the bounds of what we're capable of doing. And all types of chesed, that is. Financial chesed, personal chesed, all of this is significant. Now, as we end the shiur today, I do want to mention that tomorrow